Hey, and welcome back to another exciting Oaks Actor Features podcast. Today I have a fabulous writer-director, Lou Simon, is here with her film Nine Windows, which I presume is available everywhere, but she can tell us about that later. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I guess we got to start the easy question. Why this film? I mean, we know it's based on Rear Window. I'm not going to ruin anything, but why this? Are you that big of a Hitchcock fan?
I am a huge Hitchcock fan, and this is my favorite one of his. But it actually came about because it was the middle of the pandemic, and production has shut down. And I thought, wow, you know, like, how are we going to make films again? And I just happened to be, you know, watch it for like the zillionth time. And, you know how we were just consuming so much, you know, movies and television at the time. And I thought, you know, this is a film that could be made with these type of restrictions, you know, that could be made very easily, you know, because it's just one person for the most part in this room. And then everybody else is separately in their houses and whatever. And it occurred to me that, you know, if this is in 1954 that the original one was filmed, how much time had changed everything, because, you know, you don't have to be looking through people's windows to see what they're doing. They're like willingly sharing every aspect of their lives, like way too much information online. And so, you know, it when I thought about that, about how much time had changed, I was like, there's a story in here somewhere. And that's what got the whole thing started.
I can't let you off the hook that easily. I mean, your film is wonderful to look at. I want people to know. Very nice production values.
Thank you.
So you have the script, but you play with it slightly. We're not watching like a total remake. We're really watching, I would say, an original idea. Because, I mean, it's literally nothing like Rear Window. I'm not saying it isn't, but it isn't at the same time. I see where you were going for the windows on the computer or the windows he sees. Mm-hmm. You've totally changed the storyline to me. You could have called this something else and got away with it, I think.
True, but you know, but I really love the original, and there's a lot about it that is an homage to the first one. I mean, you know, even the windows on the computer are the modern version of that. So, you know, you have, you know, instead of the dancer in, you know, in one of the neighboring buildings, you have the workout girl, and you have, you know, instead of, you know, the piano player, you have a guy who, you know, does guitar. So everybody has a reference to another character. Miss Lonely Hearts is Miss Lonely, who is that person who goes online and tells you all their problems, you know, and you're like, wow, talk about oversharing. But that's how people are like reaching out to other people right now. You know, that's how they're bonding. 1954, Miss Lonely was, you know, by her, you know, Miss Lonely Hearts was in her apartment by herself, you know. And there's also actually points in the script that kind of mimic the same plot points. It's just that what happens is completely different, but it does follow the plot points of the original. In terms of, you know, at this, you know, this many minutes, this kind of thing happens, and, you know, that kind of thing. So some things are very subtle. You have to be a very big fan of the original to get it. But I think anybody who is a fan of the original, and even knows the names, are also kind of modifications of the original. I think they'll get it, and they'll enjoy that part.
So I want to go back to a couple of things. The people in the boxes. Mm-hmm. When you reached out to get the people in the boxes, did you tell them what they're going to do ahead of time? Or did you know who you're going to pick? Because, I mean, we don't get to meet them all. I was kind of annoyed because in the original film, we kind of meet everybody. This one, we kind of just get a very good view of everybody.
Agreed, yes. No, I, you know, a lot of the footage was actual podcast that was already or blogs or what have you, that I just reached out to the people and said, hey, can I use it? There's only just a handful of times where I actually had people act it out and you know, and actually ask them to do a specific thing so that I could use it.
Okay, I do want to discuss music before I get more in depth. I like your music choices. Again, I thought they were perfect, especially at the beginning. I thought it just set the tone nicely for me.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a great composer. His name is Michael Damon, and this is our seventh feature that we have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that he has scored for me. So, I mean, at this point, we joke around that we're like married in that
Probably true.
respect.
Okay. I want to discuss the main character's attitude. I mean, she is so unlikable at most of the time. And I would see even by the end of the film, I still don't like her.
Really? That's
I think
surprising.
you're trying to make me like her, but she's got a lot of work to do for me because at the beginning, she is just unfriendly to everyone.
Yes, she's pretty
And
awful.
I can see you were trying to make me warm her up. I get that. But I'm the kind of person, you've offended me, it's hard to get me back. If that makes sense. So was that your plan? I know you want her to have a redeeming arc at the end. I accept that. I think it works for your film. I have no issues with that part. But how do you feel people getting angry with her so early?
I mean, I definitely, because this is a little bit of a study of the whole, what's happening online these days, I felt that it would be really interesting to explore, and I'm sure you get this too, but I definitely get it, reviews of my films or even just comments. Anything that you post online has always somebody jumping in and giving you a negative opinion. It does not fail. You could say the sky is blue and they'll be like, oh, what do you know? Blah, blah, blah. It's insane. It's just incredible how horrible people are. And I always wonder, like, what's the motivation for somebody to be that negative?
That's what I'm asking for you right here. That's it. Why would this character be like that? Because I don't.
So I thought it'd be interesting. I always wonder, like, I don't, you don't know what people are going through. And for me, the fact that she had endured this horrible loss, at the beginning of the film, she's in a car accident and loses both her parents and the ability to walk. It is the kind of thing that makes you one super bitter and hopeless. So that maybe, I mean, maybe that's the kind of craziness that people are experiencing that makes them go online and be so rude to other people. So I mean, I'm a little saddened that she didn't redeem herself for you because I felt that, she is very open midway about the fact that she has a bit of survivor's guilt for being the person that survived the accident. So I was hoping that would make you forgive her, but if you didn't, what
I
can
mean, there's
I say?
nothing wrong with just me personally. Like, I'm one of these people. If I reach out and somebody slaps me, I don't want to go back. If that makes sense.
No, I hey, listen, you can't, it's your reaction and you're entitled to
No, okay. I want to discuss your
it.
film. We're on a one location pretty much. I know we have two locations. I want to get to the second one afterwards. I want to discuss the lighting here. Did you block out the windows and have very dim lighting? Because it feels to me you tried to make me feel as claustrophobic as you could the whole time. She's always at a computer desk. She never seems to ever do what she's told to do, if you know what I'm saying. And I mean, she is asked, and we don't see that. Now, I mean, I will agree with you, you do open it up a bit by the end, but I'm talking about the first hour is very claustrophobic, very dim lighting, I felt. And very so, why how'd you do to achieve that?
Well, we shot on a virtual stage.
Okay.
So we really didn't, all we had was, I don't know, maybe 60 feet across by maybe 20, 25 feet the other way. So basically the virtual stage is about the length of what would be her, I don't know, her, the great room, maybe the living room, maybe the dining room, but that's about it. So all the lighting was done by the stage. It wasn't really done. I mean, there's some manual lighting, but the majority of the lights come from the actual screens in the background and overhead. So yeah, but we definitely wanted a more dark, to set that kind of mood, of what's going on. I mean, she's watching some pretty gruesome murders happen, so.
Do you feel you would classify your film as a horror film because of that? Because I mean, it is a dark film. I mean, there are murders being committed.
Yeah, I mean it's a thriller with very, very dark undertones and very dark. I mean they're pretty brutal. I didn't hold back on how I killed the
Nope.
people, so.
You definitely did not. So I just want to discuss the second location. I don't want to bring it the name up. You know where I'm going to. Is that also the same stage?
Same stage, yeah. Just change the background.
Okay, interesting. Because I thought that was even darker than the first stage.
Yeah, it's all about changing lighting and changing the background. Yeah.
You do to put it, I want to say, I'm going to bring up a couple Easter eggs I caught. You do bring up John Wayne, which I think he is definitely related to your main character. Now, then you bring up Henry Lee, which I did look up as a forensic scientist. I thought that was very clever to put those in.
Thank you. Yeah.
So were they, I guess you place those for Easter eggs, or that was just something you just put in for yourself?
Oh no, they were definitely there on purpose.
Okay. The choosing of your actors, I mean, I think you did a great job of getting chemistry between your two leads. Like, I actually felt that story that
Oh,
you
good.
created. So
Good.
did you practice with them, or how did that come about?
No, I don't think that I actually had met before the first day that Christopher, who plays Jeff, came on to set. So, but it, but he's got a lot of charisma. He was in a previous film of mine, and he does that male romantic lead really well. So that worked out really well. I knew who could do it.
So as you're filming these scenes, like you do bring your camera back a tiny bit, obviously for the table scenes, I find this is when you start opening up, is when we're having a meal. Was that your plan to sort of open up the world a little bit more?
A lot of it has to do, to be completely honest, by technical necessities. The background works better when you don't have a lot of camera focus on it. So it's better to always have it a little bit out of focus, and or otherwise it doesn't look as real. So it's a lot of that was mandated by the technical, difficulties with shooting in a virtual stage. Because I'm not gonna put it was like relearning how to make films a little,
That's what
all
I'm interested in. So have you shot on a virtual stage before? Is this your first film?
I had not. That was I had to learn so many things to make this work.
So I can't let that go. What did you learn? I mean, you've made seven films. This is your eighth film, I guess.
This is my seventh, yeah.
Seventh film. So what did you learn differently from a virtual stage? What did you have to learn?
I mean, it's just a different beast altogether. I mean, simple things like, the placement of the characters, in terms of they have to almost be in the same field depth, otherwise it doesn't work. So I had to redo my entire shot list, a lot of times on the spot, because it was like, oh no, we can't do that shot. Okay. So it there are a lot of things about shooting in with that technology that has to do with depth of field, and it's not as easy to move, to move the world around, because you literally have to move the furniture, if you will, to make it happen. So it was very challenging. I
I
won't
got another
lie.
question. Virtual stage. Is this, so the stuff I see, the computer screen, I think it's real. Like
Yeah,
that computer
anything they
actually
touch is
exists.
real.
Okay.
Yeah, anything they touch is real. The furniture is real, but the actual walls and all that.
Okay.
That wasn't real.
So when you personally are working on this dialogue, how many times did you have to watch Rear Window? Or did you just seen it so many times you could just do it off by heart?
You know, I've seen it so many times I could talk a
Okay,
bunch
that's
of
fair. I have to ask.
No, yet I couldn't even count how many times I've seen that movie. I just love it.
Did you make your actors watch it too, then? I presume so.
Not necessarily. I think she did, but I don't know where when she did it. Because honestly, as like you said, even though they're very two different characters, you know,
Yes.
LB Jeffries and Liza are very different people, so it wouldn't have really helped in her performance. So I think she did it out of curiosity, but I definitely wasn't pushing for it.
So did you do a lot of long shots? Because I mean, if you didn't, I'm very nice editing then. Because I do notice obviously little edits, but I didn't see a lot of big edits. I found most of your takes were very long.
Yeah, I mean it depends on the scene, obviously, but there were a lot of shots using dollies and stuff like that in order to create that frenzied thing, especially because we had the limitations of being in one location. So, you know, how to keep it interesting visually, especially if she's in front of a computer for a big chunk of it. So that was the easiest way of doing that, you know, especially with a limited amount of time that we had. So you work with what you have.
Well, let's ask her there. How much time did you have?
We shot it in 16 days, but we did lose an entire day of production because of an issue with the technology. So really it was 15 days.
Okay. I thought you got away with a lot because you could quick cut those videos to get to where you needed to go. I thought that was a great device, I guess, about a proper term, to get where you need to go. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, thank
So
you.
you didn't leave me, like, I know what you're saying. I'm stuck in the one location, but I thought the videos helped me so I didn't feel stuck. And was that your thing? So you gave me a video for like maybe a minute, 2 minutes, and then go something else. Or you would always have somebody visiting, which I thought worked well for me and really broke up shots for me.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad that
Yeah. I really liked your use of the computer saying door open, and we never knew who was coming in.
Good, good. Good. And you know, obviously that's a whole setup, for a payoff
Yes,
much later in
obviously.
the
I want to discuss your two main act, let's say character actors, but Michael Paré and William Forsythe. I mean, really, I found anchored this film a lot.
Thank you.
And did you work with them before? Or, I mean, obviously, you know their work.
I had not, I'm a big fan of both of them. And I was kind of blown away that they wanted to work on this. But I thought William would just be perfect for the role of the d detective, just because he had that same kind of I don't know, mean cop sound as a detective in the original, movie. And he was so good about, the part where he's teasing them about whether they're a couple or not, just like in the original movie, he's saying, he teases them about the fact that she's spending the night at his place, and it's, oh my gosh, Grace Kelly, she's gonna be spending the night. Ooh, 1950s, very, very, very
True, true.
risque.
Working with blood, how is that for you?
Messy. And then we had the additional stress of the fact that we couldn't get blood on the screens.
Oh.
Because I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars for that equipment, so we had to be really, really careful. So it added a whole layer of stress for me, of making sure that we were very, very careful about how we did some of those scenes, especially, well, I don't know how to say it without spoiling it, but there's a couple kills there just where the blood was just like just spewing out, and it was when I'm holding my breath.
So I want to discuss your main character sits in a wheelchair pretty much the whole film. How was that on her physically?
It was a challenge. It was a challenge, because she had the wheelchair for like a month ahead of time so that she could practice with it. But it definitely was, first of all, we had the issue of like the set is raised. So it was a whole thing about her not, falling over. So, but yeah, she had to, besides worrying about, her lines and, and motivation, all that stuff, she had to worry about like, how does a person who has no use of their legs does, reacts to this, moves this way. So I mean, and it, there were takes obviously where she moved a leg and you're like, no,
Ah.
but for the most part, I mean, she was so good about it, yeah, it just took a lot of practice.
A certain apron, I think it's orange or yellow, if I remember correctly, I should have written down the color, makes an
Yellow.
appearance. Where did this apron come from? I quite liked it.
I just found the apron, but I like the idea of putting something on it that would be completely ironic to what the guy is doing. So yeah, and then it became a whole thing, and like the crew started wearing stuff with, with a smiley face, and
Oh, that's funny.
it became a whole thing on set.
Perfect. Last question I have for you. You kind of set this up for a sequel because you don't really answer the question. The big question that she needs to answer, we don't get answered. Will there be a sequel?
From your mouth to God's ears. I
Okay.
don't know. I haven't planned it per se. But yeah, it's always an opportunity. I know that Michael Bray was really excited. He kept saying, "You should make this into a show." I was like, "Really, you think so?" And so I don't know, maybe we'll do that.
I
Because
hope so. I think there's some definitely, I enjoyed this, so I wanted more.
Oh, good. Well,
So that's
that's
what I'm
awesome to
saying. I was
hear.
like, is there more coming? Because I quite liked it, like I said. I think, okay, I'm going to break this down when I should. I think your film is beautiful to look at.
Oh,
I had
thank you.
wonderful production values. I think your set design was great. I think, honestly, this is me personally talking, you did a great job.
Oh, thank you so much. I
So
really, really
I'll put that
appreciate
right out there now, guys. See, I don't
it.
usually comment about the films, but yeah, good work. I'm giving you a full
Oh.
clap. I it was quite nice watch last night.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We work so hard at it, and it's always so nice to hear like something nice as
I
opposed.
have nothing negative to say about it. I mean, my negativity would be weird things on shot selection, like, oh, could we have taken a different? That's just me. I wanted longer videos. I wanted to get to know the people in the videos. And that's really my only complaint. If you want to complain, that's the only one I can give you. And that's so minor, it's nothing.
And to be honest, that's my complaint about it too. Just because I'm such a
Oh.
fan of the original, that I would have loved to be able to like actually, found a way for us to really get to know the character,
Yes.
the way that you do with the original, that you find out the entire life stories of all these neighbors that he's looking at. And if I wish that I could have come up a way of doing that in modern day times, but I didn't. So it is, and it's this is so much more horror heavy than the original, that
Yes.
I had to give something up.
You
If
did a great
I
job.
had done a lot of that, I would have lost the horror audience.
Oh, absolutely, you would have. Okay, I got three fun questions for you, then I'm going to let you go. First time on the show, I need your favorite film, please.
My favorite film is The Silence of the Lambs.
Fair enough. Now, besides Rear Window, do you have a second favorite Hitchcock film?
Second, probably. Wow, there's so many. I really love them all. So how do I choose? I would say Psycho.
Okay. Last question. You're going to the movie theater. What movie snack do you bring or do you purchase?
I don't eat really snacks.
That's fair enough. That's a totally fair answer. Before I let you go, tell me where they can find all your wonderful films.
Well, I'm at Miss Lou Simon, MSLOUSIMON, no E. In all the different well, except for X, all the different social media sites. And then this one is at Nine Windows Film.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.